The Ohio State Buckeyes don't play again until January. The Bengals, well, they'll lose again on Sunday. The Browns are out of the playoffs, and deer hunting season is over, for a little while anyway. You're looking for something to do. I think I've got some ideas. This is the Wonderful Grace radio broadcast.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall his praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free. For the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me.
My name Mark Mumaw, and my first suggestion to you would be to give the Master Builder Grace Assembly a try. We meet each and every Sunday morning at 10 p.m. for teaching, 11 o'clock for the preaching service, and again Thursday evening at 7 p.m. for Bible study. Located at 313 South Jefferson Street, back in downtown Dayton, Ohio. We're just south of the convention center, across the street from the Singular Wireless store. No matter where you live in the Miami Valley, you're no more than 15 or 20 minutes away from the Master Builder Grace Assembly. I don't live downtown, and yet it's still convenient for me. Hop on the highway, get off, and go to 313 South Jefferson Street. Look for the IUECWA Union Hall building. You can't hardly miss that. And we're located inside that. You show up and we'd be happy to see you. Or you can go to the website, www.wonderfulgrace.org. You're going to find there just amazing amounts of material, well over 200 hours of Bible teaching that doesn't have any agenda of my own. Rather, it has God's agenda behind it. Talking about the Bible, teaching the Bible, preaching the Bible with God in mind and with His agenda. He puts the spin on it, not me. It can be difficult to find preaching and teaching that has God's opinion behind it and not the preacher's opinion. So go to the website, wonderfulgrace.org, and download the material to your MP3 or computer and access it from there. Or you can write to me at P.O. Box 384, Spring Valley, Ohio 45370, and just ask for a list of the material that is available on the website, a listing of the lessons, and I'd be happy to send that out to you. Once you have the list in your possession, then you just need to pick out the ones that you would like for me to send to you, that on CD. I'll send those to you absolutely free of charge, no obligation. You don't even have to hear from me again if you don't want. But meanwhile, if you've got internet access, get to the website. Everybody's doing it. WonderfulGrace.org. I'll be back with you in just a minute.
Broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus, wonderful name of Jesus. Magnify His holy name.
Have you figured out that not everything in your Bible seems to make sense? You want to do right. You want to be a faithful steward of the mysteries of God. But the mysteries seem to be just that, still a mystery. You already know that a person is justified, a soul is saved. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. But there are still things in your Bible that bother you. We read in Romans chapter 5:1, how that we are justified by faith. And you're at peace with God, but then the confusion starts to set in when you read in James 2:24, when James says that justification is a product of works, and not faith alone. You read in your Bible that Paul says in Romans chapter 4, verse 5, how that Abraham was justified because he believed God and his faith was counted for righteousness, but then the confusion grows when James tells you in chapter 2, verse 21, that Abraham was justified by works when he offered Isaac upon the altar. You've been wanting to tell everyone you know about the love of Jesus and how He died on Calvary's cross for the forgiveness of all our sins, but you are afraid. Afraid because you've read Mark chapter 16, verse 17, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." And you already know that the signs of Mark chapter 16 aren't following you, and now you're afraid that maybe you don't really believe. The Pentecostal charismatic preacher told you that the reason you didn't talk in tongues, the reason you didn't get a healing, was that your faith is weak and you still have secret sin in your life. One church will tell you that asking Jesus into your heart is the plan of salvation. One says you need to make Jesus Lord of your life. Yet another will have you say a prayer like, "Oh Jesus, I am a sinner. Please save me. I'm trusting you to get me to heaven. Amen." Still another tells you that you're not saved by faith alone, but rather, Jesus did his part. Now you need to do yours. They tell you that Romans chapter 1, verse 16, the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation, and then they deny the power, insisting that you're not saved until you get water baptized. Then come the questions. How to baptize? Should it be by immersion? Should it be by pouring? Should it be by sprinkling in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, or in the name of Jesus? Does the baptism at one church get you to heaven while the baptism at another has no effect at all? Still, others will tell you that salvation is a product of believing the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary's cross, but then you cannot so much as sing one note in the choir or teach one verse in Sunday school until you have been water baptized. Isn't it funny how they never stop you from putting the envelope into the collection plate even when you have not been water baptized? How is a soul saved? Do we have security of salvation, not able to lose it even if we sin? Do we really need to constantly ask Jesus for his forgiveness for our sins when that was accomplished by Jesus' death? Are we going to heaven or to the land of Jordan? What is the bride of Christ? Are miracles and healings for the church today? Has all prophecy been fulfilled? Will there really be a 7-year tribulation with an antichrist? And will we have to go through it? What is the rapture? Will you be left behind or meet the Lord in the air? When will this happen? How does prayer work? Can we really ask God for material blessings and expect to receive them? Are we supposed to tithe or give as we purpose in our hearts? Will we lose our salvation if we miss a church service? What is the will of God? What is God's will for our lives? Why does God allow sin in the world? And why did God create the devil only to let him tempt man to sin? All these and many more Bible questions can be answered by learning how to 2 Timothy 2:15 rightly divide a Bible you can trust and believe. You can be certain that God has perfectly preserved his word in the English language that you can speak and understand. You need not learn Greek. You need not learn Hebrew or Aramaic languages. You need not attend seminary for years upon years. You can understand what God has said to all that would listen throughout the ages. You can come to know the peace of God that is the full assurance of your soul's salvation and full assurance of what God is doing yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and exactly how you fit in the picture. The answer that you're looking for is Mid-Acts Pauline Dispensational Right Division of a King James Bible. Only by being able to correctly identify and know what doctrines are for you today will you ever be able to, 1 Timothy 2:4, come unto the knowledge of the truth and the peace of mind that God wants you to have. That is exactly what is taught at the Master Builder Grace Assembly, 313 South Jefferson Street in downtown Dayton, Ohio. You will not be embarrassed in front of the congregation. You will not be asked to get up in front of everyone and introduce yourself. I'm not interested in making a spectacle of you, but rather making a saint, an ambassador of God's third heaven, a soldier of the cross, equipped to tackle everything that life and the devil have to throw at you. At the Master Builder Grace Assembly, you will be welcomed, and welcome to come and go as you please. You will not be asked to sign up for anything, give anything, say or do anything. All's I ask is that you give us a try. You might just be pleasantly surprised to find a friendly atmosphere, of course not so friendly that we're going to want to move into your living room with you or have you make a lifelong commitment. When you attend the Master Builder Grace Assembly, bring your Bible or use one of ours. I would never ask you to believe anything I say without first checking it out for yourself in the Bible, our final authority. When you attend the Master Builder Grace Assembly, prepare to hear things that you have never been taught in any other church at any other time. Things that may seem foreign or strange or just downright wrong. Again, don't believe me. Believe your Bible. If you're still afraid to attend the Master Builder Grace Assembly in person, try attending via the internet at www.wonderfulgrace.org. There you will find instruction on how you can attend our live services via the internet each and every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for teaching, 11 a.m. for the preaching service, and each Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. for Bible study. We hope to see you soon at the Master Builder Grace Assembly. And if you haven't already heard, Wednesday night Bible study is now being held on Thursday evening, that for your convenience. By the way, December 23rd, December 27th, December 30th, we're going to have a guest pastor, Brother Terry McLean, in attendance, and you get an opportunity to listen to him teach and preach those dates instead of having to put up with me. So make sure to mark it on your calendar. Make sure to attend those dates, December 23rd through the 30th, to hear Brother Terry McLean. And now in Colossians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul talks about the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and prays that we would be rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving, and reminds us that the Lord Jesus Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye, the church, the body of Christ, are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. But contained in the paragraph, Paul reminds us that there's problems in the body of Christ. There's problems in churches, and he warns that we should beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Speaking of things that you've never heard of before, you might have heard a lot of things in your church, but chances are you've never heard about the mystery, and having the full assurance of understanding which comes from knowing what the mystery is. Colossians chapter 2, verse 2, Paul says that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ. Paul tells us that our hearts would be knit together in love, and that we would all get along, and that we should all know these things and have the full assurance of our salvation and the full assurance of understanding what God is doing, has done in the past, and will be doing in the future, that by acknowledging three things. First, the mystery of God, also the mystery of the Father, and the mystery of Christ. You've probably never heard of any of those things. You say, well, the mystery is still a mystery to me, and if I had any clue what one of those mysteries was, I certainly don't know what all three are. You need to acknowledge the mysteries. If you don't understand what the three mysteries are, God, Father, and Christ, then how could you, Romans 16:25, preach Christ according to the revelation of the mystery? That's how we're supposed to preach Christ in this, the dispensation of the grace of God, not preaching Jesus just any old which way, not preaching Jesus as a baby, not preaching Jesus as anything other than the crucified, glorified Lord of glory, our Savior. We acknowledge these mysteries and the difference between them, the mystery of God. What is that all about? Revelation chapter 10, verse 7, we find that in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. Now, immediately, I know that the mystery of God then concerns Christ ruling and reigning here on earth, here on David's throne, right there in Mount Zion, in the thousand-year millennial reign that will come after the seven-year tribulation period. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ used parables during his earthly ministry, parabolic teaching, that was meant to reveal the mysteries of the prophetic kingdom. You thought that the Beatitudes and Matthew chapter 5 were good suggestions on how we should just all get along, when really Jesus is teaching doctrine to those who would be entering into the earthly kingdom, that the nation Israel. And in Revelation chapter 11, verse 5, I see the seventh angel sounding, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. I'm all of a sudden getting a great idea for a new hymn, the Alleluia Chorus, I might call it, because that's the verse that the Alleluia Chorus uses, Handel's Messiah, Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. You didn't know you were singing Bible when you joined the choir and everybody agreed to sing the Alleluia Chorus, but that's what it is. It's Revelation 11, 15, but that doesn't have anything to do with what's going on now. What that has to do with is at the end of the tribulation, when the Lord returns, his second advent, then he comes to rule and reign, and that concerning the mystery of God, which we saw in Revelation 10:7. You see, the Lord's reign here on earth is the focus of the prophetic program and the people of Israel. I know that because I can read. Luke chapter 1, verse 70 tells me that since the world began, all the holy prophets have spoken of that time when their Messiah would come and rule and reign here on earth. Acts chapter 3, verse 21, Peter giving his first sermon, a good one, but not giving it to me, by the way, not giving it to you, rather giving it to those of Israel, announcing that Jesus will come back and rule and reign here on earth with Israel as the covenant nation, the head and not the tail, that spoken by all the holy prophets since the world began. That's different than what Paul says in Romans 16:25 concerning the mystery of Christ, which was kept secret since the world began. But Christ's reign is the focus of all prophecy in the Bible. You see in Daniel chapter 7, verse 13, you see one like the Son of Man came near with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given to him, this is Christ, dominion and glory, and a kingdom that all people and nations and languages should serve him, that right here on this earth, and his dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. We know, though, do we not, that the Lord is not at this time ruling and reigning physically on the earth. We know that Satan is the god of this world, that Satan is the prince and power of the air, but that's not always going to be the case. Daniel, in chapter 7, verse 17, talks about these great beasts. There's four kingdoms and four kings which shall arise out of the earth, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever, that being Israel, that being the covenant people of God, that being the focus of the prophetic program and the Colossians 2:2 mystery of God. Now, the next thing that Paul talks about is the mystery of Christ, and that has to do with us today. Again, Romans 16:25, concerning the revelation of the mystery given to the Apostle Paul to give to us, and we read in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, Paul says, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. That would be fitting because Paul is our pattern. We find that out in 1 Timothy 1:16, where he says, howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. My friends, that happened in Acts chapter 9. If you're paying attention to Peter and the boys, before Acts chapter 9, then Paul's a liar because Paul says it was me first. He doesn't say, oh, I was one of the ones. I came after Peter. Peter, he preached repent and be baptized, but you know, you got to believe your Bible. If you're going to get it right, you just believe what the Bible says and let it say what it says to whom it says it, and quit twisting it. Quit putting your own agenda. Quit putting your own repent and be baptized agenda into the Bible. Paul asks, have you heard of the dispensation of the grace of God? And if you haven't, then you can't possibly be preaching Christ according to the Romans 16:25 revelation of the mystery. Ephesians 3:2 asks that question, and we know, do we not, that not everything, even in the prophetic program, where it was revealed to all people at all times, that things became revealed during the Lord's earthly ministry, that to the little flock, that to Peter, James, John, and all the boys. Look at Luke chapter 9 in verse 44. The Lord says, let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. And he's talking to Peter and the gang. But they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them. God hid from them the saying that Jesus would have to die on the cross, be buried, and raised again the third day. Even in Luke 18, we're getting late in Jesus' ministry, and Jesus explains that he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spit upon, and they shall scourge him, and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. And they said, oh, we can't wait, because Easter will be coming then. And they understood none of these things. No, they didn't look forward to Easter because they understood none of these things, and the saying was hid from them. Neither knew they the things which were spoken. You see, that had to be. And you say, well, why did that have to be? Don't you know that in Luke 23, verse 34, as the Lord was hanging on the cross, then says Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Had they known about the cross, had they understood about the cross, had they realized that they were about to crucify the Lord of glory, they would have known what they did, and forgiveness would not have been an option at that point. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8 tells us that if any of the princes of this world had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You see, there was things hidden. There was information hidden from everybody, and just like the mystery of God, where there was some of the prophetic program hidden from the disciples at the time, the mystery of Christ was completely hidden. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, all the way through Acts chapter 9, the mystery of Christ is not known, and I know that on the authority of Romans 16:25. I know that on the authority of Paul's writings in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, which in other ages was not known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. It's something that was not known even when the Lord was walking the earth. You see, in times past, the Gentiles were in fact strangers from God and without Christ. We find out in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, that we, the Gentiles, were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But when the mystery of Christ gets revealed to the Apostle Paul, we find out that the Gentiles and the Jews who had not believed in the Messiah, had not been part of the little flock, they become of the same body, that by grace, through faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel of Christ, for no longer is salvation of works, no longer is salvation of the keeping of the law. It is the Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast. This new body of Christ is in fact the new creature, Galatians 6:15. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. The new creature, the body of Christ, the church of what's happening now, gets a new body. One of these days we're going to be outfitted for operation in heavenly places, not outfitted for operation here on earth. We find out in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 53, that, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." You see, we become that new creature by faith in God's free grace demonstrated there on the cross. And Paul tells us that he, Ephesians 3:7, was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto him by the effectual working of God's power. Nobody prior to the revealing of the mystery to the Apostle Paul knew about the unsearchable riches of Christ, the Ephesians chapter 3, 8, unsearchable riches. You can look all through the Old Testament. You can look through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and never find out that we would be Colossians 2:10 complete in Christ. Romans 5:1 that we would have peace with God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, that we would have security of salvation and be sealed unto the day of redemption. No one back in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John ever expected to go to heaven, but certainly Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6 explains that we are already judicially seated in heavenly places and going to heaven, does it not? Everyone in the Old Testament, everyone in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all the way up through Acts 9, expected to be part of the kingdom, the prophetic program, and live here in the kingdom on earth with Jesus ruling and reigning. Even old Job back there. I like Job. And he, in verse 25 of chapter 19, says, "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day up on the earth." Another good verse, one that Handel used in the Messiah for another one of those songs that he wrote. But it'd be a wrong thing. We don't expect to stand in on that day here on the earth. We know that we're going to heaven, and it is our job, is it not? Ephesians chapter 3, 9, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. If you don't know what the mystery is, it's hard to make all men see what the fellowship of the mystery is. It's hard to preach Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. It's hard to do any of those things, being ignorant of the mysteries of God. Finally, then, there is the third mystery of Colossians chapter 2, 2, the mystery of the Father. And in Ephesians chapter 1, we find, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." That's going to be our final destination, heavenly places in Christ. And we find out that we receive blessing according to the pleasure of the Father. Ephesians 1:4, "And according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him." And it's according to the pleasure of his good will, to be the praise of his glory, of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, Christ's blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of the Father's grace. We now know, because of the revelation of the mystery, what is the Father's will, Ephesians 1:8, "that he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself." That good pleasure has an end game, that the Ephesians 1:10 dispensation of the fullness of times, a time when all things will be gathered together, all things prophecy, all things mystery, when the mystery of Christ and the mystery of God will be gathered together in the mystery of the Father. That's a ways out there. Meanwhile, my name, Mark Mumaw. pastor of the Master Builder Grace Assembly, inviting you to attend each and every Sunday morning at 10, 11 o'clock for the preaching service, Thursday night at 7 p.m. for Bible study, 313 South Jefferson Street, right downtown. We'd be happy to see you. Check out the website, www.wonderfulgrace.org, or write to me at P.O. Box 384, Spring Valley, Ohio, 45370. Thank you for listening.
All-sufficient grace for even me.
For even me.
Broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Wonderful name of Jesus.